we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program with me. I am Bob Arthurs. Yep, that's what my driver's license still says. I'm Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. If you are listening at 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening, and if you're listening at 10:30, you're listening to WWBC 1510 AM or one of the corresponding frequencies so that you can hear us all throughout Brevard County and even down into other counties. I've heard that on the AM dials, the signal can sometimes even reach into the Bahamas. I guess that would make me international, an international radio program. And if you listen on the internet, that can go wherever your smartphone will take you. So we want to thank you for making us part of your day. We're really excited about what's going on at Merritt Assembly of God and the lives that he's enabling us to touch and make a positive impact on. And one of those things that we're talking about is sowing into the spirit as opposed to sowing into the flesh. Remember, those two things are hostile to one another. They are at war with one another. And, you know, unlike what some people do with their stock funds and all of that, they kind of hedge themselves in. There's no middle ground here. There, you don't want to have a foot in both worlds. You know, I see people, and you know, you can only stretch so far. You've got to be in one vehicle or in another vehicle, and I want to make sure that you are in this life on the journey towards godliness with the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you, and that you and I are marching in formation that God would have us to march into. So right now we're talking about, what does sowing look like? What does the scripture have to say about sowing, whether it's into the spirit realm, or like we talked about on yesterday's program, sowing trouble, reaping trouble, sowing defiled seed, or sowing things that would create a spiritual disconnect and cause you to no longer be able to participate in your harvest and another person enjoy all of the things that you have worked for. That was in Job 31. Today we're going to be in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. And I'm going to read the whole chapter for you, all six verses. It says, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So, in the King James Version, it says that bearing precious seed for sowing. It adds an adjective in there that it's precious seed today. So, here it talks about those who sow in tears. The reason that they would be sowing in tears was because the need was so great and the seed was so precious. I want you to realize that the devil wants to rob you of that which is precious. And he wants to leave you a shell of yourself. That was what happened in the book of Hosea. His wife's name was Gomer. She was unfaithful. And she went and literally prostituted herself. She would rather have done the life the way that she wanted to, because she thought that the immediate ramifications that people were providing for her were going to be better than living with a man of God. And I just want to speak to a situation out there, and that is, godliness is better than money. You don't want somebody who is rich who is going to treat you like garbage. Okay? And I've known people who've lived that reality, and let me tell you, it is not everything that it is cracked up to be. There are all sorts of social demands that are placed upon people. There are all sorts of things. If you want to stay in our club, you will do things that we tell you to do the way that we tell you to do them, or you won't be in our club anymore. And listen, somebody told me years ago, if you can be bought, you can be sold. And that's what Gomer experienced. And she ended up on the auction block, and all of her beauty was gone. She was no longer worth the maintenance that the people had, who she had been associated with. They didn't want to feed her anymore. They didn't want to clothe her. They didn't want to provide shelter for her anymore. And so literally they put her up on the auction block, and you know who came and rescued her? You can read all about it in Hosea chapter 1, Hosea chapter 2. You can read all about it. Hosea, the prophet, the man of God, went back and redeemed her and paid for her. And he says, look, to me, you are not property. You are my wife. And I want you to realize that I think you're worth it all. And so today, if you are sowing in tears because your seed is so precious, I want you to recognize that God wants to take that which is precious, and he's going to cause it to abound. He's going to cause it to increase exponentially. When Elijah was challenging the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, in 1 Kings, he said, okay, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And he gave the Baal and Asherah prophets first crack at it, and they went through all sorts of theatrics trying to entice him, their God, to answer, and there was no response. And Elijah started to taunt them. And then he said, okay, it's my turn. And he personally rebuilt the altar, positioned everything by the altar, and then he said, okay, I'm going to dig this trench around here, and we're going to pour water over the sacrifice. And some people think that water was to make it more difficult for the sacrifice to catch fire. There may be some element of that, but I don't have to speculate about this. After 3 years of famine, water is a very precious commodity. And when they put that water on the altar, it was precious to them. And God answered and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the water, and consumed everything around there. And the people said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Today, I want to encourage you, don't look for the lowest cost. David, when he was preparing to build the temple, looking for a spot to build the temple, he came up on the threshing floor. He had a spiritual encounter there, and he said, I want to buy this. And the guy who owned the property said, I tell you what, I want to give it to you, because if it wasn't for you crying out there, I'd be dead. My sons would be dead. And he said, no, I will not offer something that doesn't cost me something. We are taught to look for the things that require the least amount of expense, but will produce the greatest return on investment. And as far as seed goes, as far as sowing seed goes, in the spiritual realm, you sow precious seed. You may sow in tears because it is so precious to you, but you reap in joy. You reap in joy. There are a lot of people who do not reap because they haven't intentionally sown anything. So he says, Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing. Okay? It is a continual thing. It's not just something you do once a week. It is something that you do Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and you never stop. You never get too old, and you're never too young to start. You just start sowing and sowing. I liken this passage to a spiritual Johnny Appleseed, that you're just constantly going forth and you're planting seed. My wife and I, we have had a plowing ministry. We, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. God had called us during a time of seeking the Lord. He said, I'm calling you to pick up things that others have deemed worthless because I deem them priceless, and I want you to restore value to them. That's my life mission. That's what we are all about, is restoring value. And so whether that's to an individual, whether it's to a group of people, whether it's to a church, whether it's to a home, you know, that we restore value to it. We want to make sure that when we get done with it, it has greater value than it had when we first began to minister in that situation. So today I want to encourage you, don't just be an intermittent sower. Be someone who is continually doing it, that you are looking for opportunities to sow into the Spirit. And it says, if you will continually go forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Those seeds seem very small whenever you compare them with the sheaf of grain that is produced as a result of. Jesus talked about that the harvest would be 30, 60, and 100-fold. Listen, this is one of the greatest, this concept of sowing seed and reaping harvest is one of the most phenomenal ways to increase that there's ever been. You know, if you go to the bank right now and you say, I want to invest some of my money, what will you give me for investing? You might get something that says 1%. You might get something that says 2%. Okay? But whenever it talked about 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold, that meant for every grain that was sown, every seed that was planted, that 30 seeds would come out of it, or 60 grains would come out of it, or 100 grains would. That's tremendous. That is absolutely phenomenal. If you are able to double your money in an investment plan, that's considered phenomenal. 100% return? Well, this is even greater than that. That's 100-fold. It's 100 over. It's just a phenomenal return on investment. And I tell you what, there's a great deal of rejoicing. The reason that God does that, okay, the Bible says in another place, we'll talk more about it later, is he provides bread to eat and seed to sow. He provides bread to eat and seed to sow. Now, if you want the blessings to continue, you don't eat your seed. Okay? You don't eat your seed. And so today I just want to challenge you to don't sow your leftovers into the kingdom of God. Sow your best. That's why God asked for the first fruits, is because that was the highest quality seed that there was. And he said it belongs to him. Okay? How many of you know that you don't get to negotiate with the government as to what they consider is their part of your earnings? Okay, well, God says, I'm going to let you, you know, I had a conversation, I don't remember who it was that I had this conversation with, but it was a teenage young man, and I think this was a story that my former youth director, when I was in college, so he wasn't that much older than I am, he said that he was having a conversation with a young man, And he was describing the concept of tithing, and the young man said, "That's phenomenal." He said, "What's phenomenal?" He said, "You mean I get to keep 90% of what God brings into my life? That's phenomenal." And you know, sometimes it just has to be the perspective that we have, is that if we sow precious seed, we get precious harvest, exponential harvest. And so I want to encourage you today to not hold back, not be intermittent with it, not be hit or miss with it, but be constant in it, be faithful in it, be continual in it. I want to take you back to Psalm 107 today. And I did these in the order that I did because I want you to see what is possible when we sow precious seed. It says in verse number 33 of Psalm 107, "He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that he may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease." Okay, so that's where we're going to end. God is constantly changing the landscape, if you will. He starts off and he says, "I'm going to turn rivers into wilderness, and I'm going to turn the wilderness into pools of water." He says, "I'm the one that can change the landscape." He's always been a horticulturist, but he just doesn't do it for diversity. He just doesn't do it to mess with society or anything like that. There is a purpose in everything that God does. It is this concept of sowing and reaping is part of God's plan for transforming barrenness into fruitful, desirable communities. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I was working retail, but I knew one thing. God did not want Merit Assembly of God to stay a church of six people in the pastor's family. I knew that. I knew that he didn't want the house of God to be in disrepair. I knew that. And so we set out to take care of the maintenance issues that we could take care of as the finances came in. And we also went out and tried to build relationship with people in the community. And so we got to know a number of people, a number of the business people in the area. And one day we were knocking on doors and I ran into another believer and he said, "What church are you from?" And I said, I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God over on Grove Street. And I will never forget these words. He said, "Oh, that's the little church over there that can't hold any people." And that was the reputation that was in the community around us. And you know, I want to encourage you, don't live down to your reputation. Raise your expectation, raise your faith that God can transform the landscape. That was a believer who told me that. And I'll tell you, it wasn't a word of encouragement, but it's something that I've never forgotten. And wherever you are right now, whatever landscape you're in, I tell people this all the time. It doesn't matter if you're a mega church or a medium-sized church or a small church or a large church. Every church is one sin away from being empty. One person that blows it can send sheep scattering all over the place. Okay? And so if you're in a place of abundance right now, thank God and keep yourself holy. sow the seeds into the Spirit, the seeds of holiness and righteousness. And because God can change that landscape, all you got to do is look at Europe with all of their grand cathedrals that are going on over there, and they're historical buildings, but the churches cannot afford to keep up the maintenance of them because there is such a declining attendance in there. And they're fabulous cathedrals, as beautiful as they are. They weren't meant to be museums. They were meant to be houses of worship where people engage the living God. Let's not have that happen here in America. I've already seen one mega church that at one point in time was doing quite well, and now even the building is not in existence anymore. I don't want to see that happen. But if you are in a place of barrenness, I want to encourage you from this passage, Psalm 107, that God can turn a wilderness into a pool of water and dry lands into water springs. He would create out of that place of barrenness an environment that is conducive to sowing fields and planting vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. Okay, it says that he makes the hungry to dwell there. Okay, I want to ask you, do you think you're going to get hungry again in a few months? Or do you think that what you've eaten already will be able to sustain you? I have a feeling that God is looking for a people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he says, you will be filled. He can transform that place of barrenness. And one of the things that he does, he says, if I change the ability for the soil to be conducive to seed sowing, he says, I want you to sow fields and plant vineyards because I have a fruitful harvest for you. I'm looking for a fruitful spiritual harvest. You know what I'm looking for? Souls. The psalmist said, ask of me and I will give you the nations. It was a prayer to God. Ask of God and he will give you the nations. That means the people groups of this world. I pray that our churches are abounding with people from every different demographic that you can imagine. All of them worshiping and praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all of their heart. He said he also blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. Do you truly believe that God can change the circumstances and the atmosphere of your situation? He can change your present reality into an atmosphere that is a magnet for hungry souls. He can change it into a place of abundance, a place where there's a spiritual harvest, where there is life in the house. He can change it to where you never see decrease. He changes it from a place of cursing into a place of blessing. And he changes it into a place where there is exponential increase. Let me close out today's program with a story about Ruth. There was a lady by the name of Naomi, and her husband and their two sons were living in Bethlehem, and a famine came, and it changed the amount of harvest. And so since there was a famine going on there, they ended up moving to Moab. And while they were there, the sons married two Moabite women. One son married a lady by the name of Orpah. The other married a woman by the name of Ruth. And while they were in the land of Moab, Naomi's husband passed away, and her two sons passed away. And now here this woman is, who in that day and time did not have the same rights as men. And there she was in a foreign country, a widow and childless, and now she has these two daughter-in-laws, And she tries to get them to stay. And they say, no, wherever you go, that's where we're going to go. And Naomi makes one more plea to them. And she says, look, even if I had a child today and they grew up, are you really going to wait all those years so that you could have children by this child that I don't have any access to? Says, no, go on back to your people. And Orpah waves goodbye. She kisses her on the neck and she leaves. And Ruth says, don't ask me to leave you because I'm not leaving you. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going to go. And your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And she went back to Bethlehem, and there had been something remarkable that had taken place from the time that Naomi and Elimelech left. And that was this. There was fresh bread. There was fresh grain. There was a fresh harvest where there had been barrenness before. I want to talk to some people today. Are you ready to sow some seed that will change the climate so that when people come back, you will be able to say, you know what? This is not the same place that I left. This is a different place. This is a thriving place. This is a place of abundance. Naomi went back to that place and she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because God has made my life very bitter. But at the end of the book of Ruth, she is talking a different story, because there was harvest going on in the land. Ruth went out and harvested. There was a kinsman redeemer that was there, and they recognized that there was a divine connection taking place, and Ruth ended up having a son. And Naomi got to be there and hold that little boy on her lap and just speak blessing over him, and she was no longer bitter. Today, I want to encourage you to sow seeds that is going to turn bitterness into joy, that is going to turn weeping into rejoicing, that is going to transform a barren landscape, a wilderness, into a place of abundant harvest where there is blessing and great multiplication and there is no decrease. Amen. Even in the Babylonian captivity, in Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah tells them, look, where you are, increase there. Do not decrease. Do not decrease. I pray today that you'll set your sights and say, you know what? My God is a God of increase, and I will sow and see a spiritual harvest. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.